Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. It is often said there are a few things in life that are inescapable, and one of them is taxes. And it's somewhat humorous when we think about it that even Almighty God, as recorded in sacred scripture for us today, is seen as paying taxes himself. Yet this question posed to Jesus today had little, if anything, to do with the justice of paying taxes to the Roman emperor. Those who asked Jesus this question were interested in only one thing: how can we get rid of him? How can we trip him up? We've got to find a way, even if it's for the civil authorities, to get rid of this man. Because he tells us things we don't like to hear. He tells us the stuff in truth that we know we need to hear, but we don't like it, and we'd rather be in the darkness than in the light. We've got to get rid of him. That's why he hollers out to them, "You hypocrites." Now, in the first century of Palestine under Roman occupation, things were not good, but things were not all that bad. Rome allowed its small conquered nations on the edges of its empire, called tributes, to continue to manage their own internal affairs. They were able to still govern themselves, but they owed a tax to the empire. And in return for this gracious gift of autonomy that Rome was allowing them, and the emperor and the authorities, they could handle their internal affairs, and as a return for the taxes, the legions, the guards, and the soldiers of the empire would protect this tribute, this area of land, from outside invaders. So you can manage your internal affairs, but Rome will take care of the outside affairs, and as long as you pay your tax, and all will be fine. But if one were to refuse to offer this tribute, it could be seen as an act of rebellion, an act of rejection. And, well, the empire would say, if you don't want our protection, then we don't need to give it to you, and they would withdraw and leave this tribute, this outlying area, open to attack and invasion by other forces. But this whole question posed to Jesus and them trying to trip him up, he saw right through their ploy. But instead of ignoring or humiliating the Pharisees, he taught them a valuable lesson. A lesson that is still valid for us today, 20 centuries later. To give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to give to God what belongs to God. But the truth of the matter is, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not doing so well on either point, are we? Because over the past few Sundays, we've been given examples of what the kingdom of heaven will be like. Remember the merchants, the man with his vineyard, etc., and his sons on down the line. All of these are to give us a picture of how the kingdom of God operates and how it will be in heaven, but also how he functions even now as we are members of his kingdom. And in a similar manner in which the residents of the Holy Land in the first century were both Jewish and Roman citizens or tributes, analogously, each and every one of us, by virtue of our existence and also our baptism, have a dual citizenship with overlapping benefits and overlapping duties. Our birth made us citizens of this earthly nation. by the very fact that you were born in this country or naturalized, however you arrive here, you are citizens of the United States with all its rights, privileges, and duties, etc. But it is our baptism that made us citizens also of the heavenly kingdom of God, which exists even here and now through His holy church and the sacraments. And as a kind of tribute, the covenant that God formed with us gives us salvation and protection. It gives us mercy and forgiveness. It gives us redemption. But we also must remember that we still have free will. And God loves us enough to let us experience the results of our own choices, whether we choose good or choose the absence of good and evil. And throughout the centuries, many saints and even martyrs have given us examples of this and have even shown us what happens when we are forced to choose between the city of God and the city of men, whenever Caesar tries to take what belongs to God, and when we must be faithful and true to our everlasting homeland, our true citizenship, even when this becomes painful, difficult, and even we face death, to be faithful to our Lord. We don't have to go far to find where these inklings are even coming to our shores. We've heard in the news this week of the mayor of Houston in an interesting move, subpoenaed all the sermons of the pastors in her town to ensure that she could evaluate them for anything that would seem to be a political statement against her or the government, to which one of the pastors in Houston quickly responded, "Madam Mayor, with all due respect, if you want to know what's in my sermons, I'd be happy to see you in church and be happy to see you living a moral life instead of the things that you're doing." Thankfully, Mayor Vedrine hasn't done any of that to us, and if she wants to hear what we say here at Communion of All Saints, she just has to turn on KVPI at 8:30 to hear her holy man talk, as she calls me and Father Mitchell. But there are duties and responsibilities, as I said, of our heavenly citizenship. There are things that belong to God. And because of our oaths, our vows, our baptism, and of the sacraments, etc., all of this being members of His holy church, we do have responsibilities. In some ways, you can say there is a heavenly IRS looking for our tribute. And where does this begin? It begins right in the very opening words of sacred scripture, because remember the story of Genesis. All that we are, all that we possess, and all that we can ever hope to be and achieve was created by the Almighty God Himself. Each day things were good, and on the last day things were very good when He made humanity. And just as that Roman tribute coin bore the image of the emperor who made it, so you know who it belonged to, so thus the human soul and the human person, the whole human being, bears an image and likeness to God, our Creator and Father. And it's stamped indelibly when we are baptized and confirmed, holy orders, their various sacraments, that mark us for all eternity as being members of the household of God. He has called each of us into existence, and He wills that each of us exist and have life to the full, so that we can encounter Him, develop a personal relationship with Him, and know the fullness of truth. This is the whole purpose of our lives, to live in that communion with God, which starts here and now and lasts for eternal life, so that we can then have right community, right communion, right interaction with others. And the Catechism puts it that coming from God and going toward God, man lives a fully human life. We're only fully human if we freely live by this bond, by this commitment we have made to God, freely living it out in the way that God created us to be, fully alive, fruitful, experiencing His grace. He has shown us this is possible by sending us His Son to us, our Lord Jesus Christ, the model of every Christian life, let alone the examples of His Holy Mother, the apostles, all the members of the church throughout the centuries. And so giving to God what belongs to God means obeying his commandments, being faithful to the vows we have made to him, following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and heeding the teachings of his holy church that he gave to us to guard, protect, and guide us on this journey. And then there are these duties of our earthly citizenship. Just as real, even though they're temporal, they're going to run out at some point. They're not eternal. But they do overlap. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. We heard that in the gospel today, which refers to our political and civic life, our interaction with the world around us, the greater community outside of our own selves. Because when God created us, he didn't create us like plants or rocks, just totally sitting there, self-sufficient, not needing anything. He created us within the bonds of a family. He created us to be social. He created us to interact with one another. He puts inside of us a need to enjoy and experience the company and the assistance of other people. As much as we want to be totally self-sufficient, we are not. We need him and we need those he has placed in our lives. Human nature, the way he created, requires us to live in a community. Look how long it takes for this to happen. A child is born, but it takes many years before it's ready to be on its own. This social aspect of our human nature is part of that image and likeness of God. Because recall the Holy Trinity. Three persons, one God. That mystery of the interior working of the Godhead is a community of persons interacting with one another, our one God working to save us. Christ revealed this to us, and it's beautiful. And that image is then brought about in the human family, in our lives, this divine community of our God himself. So beginning with our own families, however good or bad or whatever situation they may be, it's how it begins. And from there it goes out to the community, to the greater society in general, out to the whole world. And in return, there are many benefits. There is protection. There are public services. There's opportunities for personal and family development and growth that only happens in that context. And so that it is our duty to interact, to be part of the greater society, to be obedient to the good laws, to act in collaboration with them. Another word we have for this is patriotism. It is a virtue every Catholic should excel in. Because no matter where we find ourselves, whether it's a citizen of a nation, a state, a parish, a city, a town, a community, we should be the most dependable and loyal citizens around. Because it flows out of our devotion, out of our faith, to be all that God created us to be the best version of ourselves. He doesn't want you to just get by and be some second-rate person, but a full person, fully alive. And to do this, we must make an effort to stay informed about our political life, about culture, about the things facing our world and our communities. This enables us to be informed as a voter and as a citizen. It's not always easy as it sounds, but there are some key issues that we have to be aware of. Because the media, as we know, twists and turns things so terribly into lies and deceptions that don't make sense. One of these is treating the unborn as if they're some sort of disease. You got pregnant. We've got to cut the baby out of you. We've got to sterilize your husband. We've got to make sure that none of this happens again. It's so-called birth control, which is nothing but less births and no control. Giving you a pill or some sort of medication to render you sterile instead of fruitful. Inserting things that are barriers to your intimacy instead of being fully one with each other. What good is it to go and proclaim rights of all these people when there are no people to defend. It is nothing but a ploy of those who claim to be elites to exterminate humanity. Another one that has been in the news lately is somehow that the church is treating homosexual people or with those tendencies as bad people and to be rejected. No. Anyone struggling with a vice or a sin, we call them to fullness of humanity. We call them to virtue. We help them in their struggle. We don't kick them out and say you're evil and you shouldn't be here. And the news, again, it twists this into somehow that homosexual union should be something like a real marriage. But this is an injustice not only to society but to human beings. Because again, that core of society is the family. It's the DNA of what makes us a society. And if we start messing with that and redefining marriage and redefining the family, redefining gender, or just simply allowing it to happen because we think we can't do anything about it, things get scary. If we start messing with our own DNA, we become something else biologically. So we have to be aware of this. Also, when we vote for political candidates or on the issues, we cannot pretend that, well, that's somebody else's responsibility or that these things don't matter. All of these things matter. Your faith is not limited to these walls. Don't compartmentalize your life. These issues are like the walls of a house. But when you start knocking down the key issues of a house, the walls, the roof, and even attack the foundation, it will crumble. We must be aware, we must be informed of our duties, not only as faithful citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but also as patriotic and responsible citizens in the world around us. So many ways it happens that things get warped and twisted. We're even told that there's some sort of separation between church and state that means that our faith can, because of our faith, we can never speak to the issues or we can never speak about what really is facing the world. Yet these proponents who say this are always telling us when, where, and how, and why we can practice our faith and even want to define it for us. Yet it is precisely because of our Catholic faith, because we possess the fullness of God's revelation in His Holy Church, if we dive into it and actually live it, it gives us every right and enables us to speak on the issues facing the world because of this fullness of truth. Staying informed about current issues is only half of our duty. As Christians and as Catholics, we're called not only just to maintain society, but to put that faith into practice, into action, and help to improve it, to build it up, to bring about that justice, that love, that peace that God inspires us to do. But again, what do we see around us so often? People complain, whether it's the potholes in the road or stuff going on in Washington, D.C. They boudet and gripe and do nothing about it. Be responsible. Run a good candidate. Be informed of the issue. Speak out. Know your people who are in charge who make these decisions. We put them in office. We are responsible to make them informed of our decisions. Do they truly represent us? Because in American society, we have a unique opportunity to do this as good Catholics and patriotic citizens by making good use, first of all, of our conversations is where it begins. Many of our friends and colleagues and neighbors want to make a right decision. We talk about this stuff all the time. What do we do? How do we do things properly? But they don't understand the full truth behind these things. And we often remain uninformed for whatever reason. But there are people out there hungry for the truth on these complicated issues. And as followers of Christ, we have an obligation to feed the hungry, especially that hunger for light and darkness, for truth in the face of error, to let our light shine before others. So often, we encounter this. We should never then be afraid to explain our point of view. We should never be shrink away from the church's teachings in our conversations around the proverbial water cooler or at these suppers and gatherings, because so often we hear it, people belittling the church, people making fun of our Lord, of our faith. And what do? We just say, oh, ha ha, laugh at it. But this does damage if we're not careful. Because we are God's messengers. We have a duty and a responsibility, because we owe it to the kingdom of heaven of which we belong, to be faithful citizens of that kingdom. We have something important to say, a crucial mission to accomplish. But why are we silent? Why do we not seek the truth? Why are we so indifferent? A great English thinker, Edmund Burke, once said, all that it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And we so quickly point out all the evil in the world. And there is a lot of bad things going on. But there's also a lot of good, and there's a lot of good people. But for some reason, we tend to be idle or say these things are other people's responsibility. Oh, Father, that's your job to speak the gospel. I go to work and I go home. No, it's your job. You will go places a priest will never go. You are in these conversations where people make these statements. And it is your job, your responsibility to defend and say the truth all in charity. Let us give to God what belongs to God, all of it, and nothing less. Let us also give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, what is proper, but in nothing more. But then all of this, we've been hearing about the kingdom of God the past several weeks and what it is like. And why do we not see it in the world? Where is this peace and justice promised and proclaimed by our Lord? Again, you don't like it and I don't like it, but the truth of the matter is we're doing bad on both fronts. We're not fulfilling our obligations to God or to Caesar. Where is your faith? Where is your patriotism? Remember that the tribute given to the empire provided for defense and protection from invaders, and failure to comply with that agreement resulted in a withdrawal of defenses. Similarly, God has given us a free will and human reason to make good and informed choices about our lives. He's given us salvation and baptism. He's given us the other sacraments to do battle with the devil. He has such an ample patience over these eons for individuals and nations, so that they can turn to him with repentance for the failure they have of living up to their end of the deal. They're part of the covenant. And we don't even care. He loves us enough to allow us to experience the results of our own choices. And in our world, there's such uncertainty now, especially this past week and recently of the news of an epidemic at our doorstep. And so many are afraid. So many are concerned. We wonder why. Why is Ebola here on our shores? Why do these diseases come? Why does all this terrible things happen? Don't blame Mr. Obama. That's not the solution. And it's not his fault in this regard, because who is responsible as a citizen of heaven and of earth? Don't look at blame Mr. Obama. Look to Mr. and Mrs. You, our Father, me. What have we done? What have we failed to do through our own grievous faults? What have we been neglecting? Where have we been not living up to our own fidelity to the covenant? Where have we not been true to these responsibilities? In this time of pending crisis, we must pray. We look and see where have we been unfaithful and shore up those areas and seek God's mercy and repent from these ways in which we know we go astray. And so to conclude, I offer this prayer as we advertise for this time of uncertainty. And I will pray it out loud, and I invite you to listen attentively and pray it along with me in your heart. Almighty God, who in thy wrath did send a plague upon thine own people in the wilderness for their obstinate rebellion against Moses and Aaron, and also in the time of King David did slay the plague with a plague of pestilence 70,000, and yet remembering thy mercy did save the rest, have pity on us miserable sinners, who now are visited with great sickness and mortality, that like as thou didst then accept of an atonement and did command the destroying angel to cease from punishing, so it may please you now to withdraw from us this plague, this grievous sickness, and all these things that cause us to lose hope. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us evaluate where we are on this journey with the Lord. Let us not keep saying it's someone else's responsibility and someone else's problem, but be aware of our duties and responsibilities as dual citizens of this creation. And live that faith to its fullness. Amen.